Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier. Game on. Soccer.
Now, guys, we are going to stay with football because there was some news today about Limerick FC. We know that they are on the verge of extinction after the examinership process today. They were trying to keep their trading company afloat, but it ended unsuccessfully, and the club have not been granted a League of Ireland licence for next season, and court protection has been removed. Paul, that is not a good situation for Limerick. How big a blow is it?
It's probably the last thing we needed, given all that's been happening at the FAI and with domestic soccer. To see that one of the clubs who only a couple of years ago was playing in the Premier Division and looked like they were going to make strides in regards to the investment, the infrastructure, everything about the club and where they were trying to go. And for it to result in this is desperately sad. But if I was to stand here and tell you I'm surprised, I'd be lying, because I had friends down playing in Limerick and, you know, hearing about cash payments and brown paper bags and all sorts, the level of unprofessionalism down there seemed to be an extreme. And then you hear about Sean Russell and he's crying out to get an injury and an operation paid for during the season that the club wouldn't pay for. It smelt that something was wrong. And
of course, these are all stories that are being told. They're not anything that we are definitive about.
Yeah. So these are stories that have been passed from one person to another, but the League of Ireland doesn't need stories like this, and we need clubs in big cities, and Limerick is one of them, and it's not worked out for whatever reason. And it would make you think, have we got too many clubs as a whole within the League of Ireland system? Are we better off narrowing the focus and maybe looking at 12 to 14 clubs and just focusing on one division? Because something's not working between the Premier Division and the First Division, and I'm not sure anybody right now can put their finger on it. But from my point of view, I don't think we have the pool of players to support a two-tier division.
And we're very Dublin heavy, aren't we, when it comes to it?
Yeah, we are, and that's been the criticism, that because you have so many clubs in Dublin, well then that spreads the support base across a number of teams, and it lessens the attendances. And when Limerick were going well, and we've seen this down in Waterford as well, that when they have gone well, that the crowds have come in, but there's problems with sustaining that. Of course, fans are coming through the turnstiles when the results are good and when they look as if they're pushing on and getting to the next level, but there's no sort of sustainability about anything in the League of Ireland at the moment.
Now, it is a developing story, and earlier our reporter John Kenny caught up with Don O'Sullivan of the Limerick Leader.
Yeah, it seems that way. September of 2019 is when the Examiner took over, a company put in place trying to see if anyone would be interested in investing in the club as it stood as a current entity, and that came to an end today with the court removing the protection, and Munster Football Limited, which is the company behind Limerick FC, now looks like it's going to have liquidators appointed, and Limerick FC as it stands now is no longer in existence.
It's a huge debt, isn't it? Nearly half a million in terms of the context of League of Ireland clubs.
It's a massive debt in terms of any business, really, I suppose, that has the turnover, as you say, of a League of Ireland club. 490,000 is the figure given in court today. No one knows if that has grown since the examinership process started in September. So, unfortunately, there's a very stark figure when you look at it in black and white. And I assume when people investigated the books and looked to see if they were interested in investing in the current climate, they couldn't take over a League of Ireland club with that amount of debt.
Do you think this is the end of football in Limerick, or is there any move to perhaps bring something out of the ashes and get something going? Because 2020 looks like there won't be a senior club in Limerick.
Yeah, the first part of that question, do I think it's the end of senior soccer in Limerick? No, I think there's enough of an interest here, there's enough of a want here, for want of a better word, for senior soccer and League of Ireland soccer in particular. I mean, Limerick has shown that it can compete at the top level, albeit across different decades, unfortunately. But yeah, 2020 is not going to see senior soccer in Limerick, it looks like, now. Too short a window for anyone to come in and turn it around. There's one or two local clubs who also might fancy their chances at applying for a licence in time. They might see today's decision as an opportunity for them to fill that void. But there is enough interest in soccer, there's enough talent locally for some form of a Limerick FC club to come from the ashes, as you say.
When you look back at it, and not too recent distant past as well, they were playing in Thomond Park before they moved back to their traditional home in Markets Field. At that stage, things looked pretty good, didn't it?
Oh, phenomenal at the time. They signed a deal with the FAI for, I think it was 10 high-profile pre-season friendlies, one of which took place against Manchester City. And then, unfortunately, the others didn't materialise. As you say, back to the Marcus Field, its ancestral home, huge crowds for playoff games. As you say, up to sixth in the Premier Division, playing a nice brand of football too on a good surface at the time in front of large partisan support. I mean, there was a good atmosphere there. There was a good vibe there. But as every week passed, more and more, I suppose, chinks in the armour became visible to people from the outside looking in. And, you know, a lot of goodwill was lost locally with fans and with businesses. It just wasn't, I suppose, running the right way. And unfortunately, just slipped through the hands now and has gone out of existence. Even ending last season, you know, Tommy Barrett did a great job with the squad he had and then deducted points post the finish of the season. It's just, everyone just grew so frustrated. And I think today was more of an inevitable end as opposed to a shock to anyone in Limerick.
You talk about one or two clubs maybe interested in filling that void. Who are they?
Well, the one that I think is positioning itself brilliantly on a local level is Ashley Anacotti. I mean, they've kind of muted that they'd be interested in even taking on an underage licence at the under-15 National League at the time. There was rumours they were interested in that. They recently held a very successful match against the Liverpool Legends, which had all the feel of maybe showing off that their grounds could hold large crowds and that they could run a big event.
That was Donal Sullivan there speaking to John Kenny earlier. Now, the FAI did release a statement in response to today's news. They said they were disappointed with the end of the examinership at the parent company of Limerick FC. They said there's been no contact between the Limerick owner, Pat O'Sullivan, and the FAI over how he intends to proceed following today's news. No application for a League of Ireland licence was made by Limerick FC as the club was in examinership. So I don't think we're going to get too many conclusions today from that. But what we do know is that it is a very grim situation in Limerick. And just from a player's point of view, we're going to hear from Stephen McGuinness from the PFAI very shortly. But like, Paul, I'm sure you know so many of the footballers who were caught up with Limerick. Like, how difficult is it to lose a club?
Yeah, it's really difficult. And I think when particularly people from Dublin and people that I would have known who have travelled down to Limerick really embed themselves in the environment and the city, and they've have nothing but fond experiences, and that stems from the club to the city to the fans. Loved it, absolutely loved it. So to lose not only any club but to lose Limerick in particular is desperate, and it's just a really sad state of affairs, because it makes you wonder, particularly if I was a player, how many other clubs are potentially nearing that situation, or if a main investor pulls out, does it mean that my contract's in jeopardy? And it's just not the type of stories we need, particularly with domestic football here.
You mentioned some of the players saying that they absolutely loved it. And I saw Brendan Clark, who was the goalkeeper down there for quite a while, tweeting about how much he enjoyed his experience there and how disappointed he was that that they couldn't do something to save it. And it's just a sad day for Limerick, and he feels for the supporters. And that's it. There are so many good football people down there. Now, I mentioned that we spoke to Stephen McGuinness a little bit earlier, and before we get to him, it's 1-1 in the City game. Gabriel Jesus has equalised, but let's hear from Stephen McGuinness. He gave his reaction to today's news.
I suppose it's not a huge surprise. I mean, anybody who would be looking closely at the league would have seen over the last number of years, like we have balloted for strike action at the club in the last two seasons due to unpaid wages. We had an issue this year where one of our members, an amateur player at the club, had required an operation, and the club hadn't got the insurance in place for the player to have the operation done. So there has been huge financial issues for quite a while at the club. So as much as nobody wants to see any club go, and particularly in Limerick, where from a junior football point of view, it's a hotbed, it's hugely disappointing that they haven't got a licence, that they won't be in the league next year. But I think anybody being realistic, you could see this coming.
Stephen, obviously this is a really terrible situation, but is this in relation to everything that's gone on with the FAI, or is it just a poorly run club?
Come the end of it definitely looks from their perspective like it was a poorly run football club. The issues that I have seen in the last 2 years, where we have had the ballots for strike twice, would tell you that there was issues there, financial issues that have been ongoing. And the owner of the club has put a huge amount of time and effort into the club and maybe just wasn't able to do it forever. And unfortunately, that didn't seem to be anybody else willing to come in and take on the debts that are there currently. And it's, as I said, it's a hugely disappointing day. Like, I'm in Manchester today where we played Rochdale with 15 out of contract professional players looking for employment. And clubs going like Limerick, who offer potential employment for our members, it's something obviously that we wouldn't welcome. And it's hugely disappointing. When you run a football club, you've got to run it within the parameters of the licensing system, and you have to make sure that that you're able to pay your bills every week, and you shouldn't be stressing yourself beyond that. And unfortunately, in Limerick's situation, as I said already, I think they've seen it coming. When you look at the rest of the league last year, there was no real financial issues in the league in regards to a wage, from a wage perspective. Things have got a little bit better in regards to the stability of our clubs and the stability of the salaries. So Limerick was an isolated incident last year. It's not to say that in the future it can't happen, but this should be a warning to all clubs that if you don't do your business right, that there is potential that football will be lost in the area or in the county. So you have to run it properly. And obviously the FAI has felt from a club licence perspective that there's too many issues and we couldn't continue. And that's hugely disappointing. But it again shows that the clubs, if you don't do your business right, these are the effects that can happen and you don't get a licence. And football not being a Limerick is a huge blow to the league.
And Stephen, what about the players that are owed money? Will they get it?
Yeah, no, there's one player only that's owed, and obviously there's a liquidation process that's going to take place. It looks like it's going to take place, and we just have to see what happens from that. Obviously, you represent the player to the end, and we just have to see what comes out of the liquidation.
You mentioned amateur players there that need operations, or just what happened to those guys?
Yeah, well, ourselves, Dunnicker, and a couple of other parties got together to fund that operation. So we pay that cost. So from that perspective, that individual player has had his operation done and is having his rehab, and that's been funded by ourselves and a number of other parties. So that has as such got the club off the hook. But again, I was hugely disappointed that the club didn't look after the player.
Stephen, is it realistic to think that there will be a football club in operation in the league in Limerick next season?
At this stage, probably, I'd say it's highly unlikely. It's too short a period of time. By the time somebody will get another application in for licensing, sign players, get a manager, get a ground, I think it's highly... There's talk of Shamrock Rovers having a B team, which obviously would take Limerick's place. So I think that's more realistic.
That was Stephen McGuinness there of the PFAI speaking to us earlier. We've had some texts in. How many Cork and Limerick teams have gone to the wall in the history of the LOI by comparison to the rest of the country? Soccer is clearly the fourth sport in the region and always will be. Ask Dunica what type of crowds local AIL games get from Gareth in Armagh.
Yeah, it can depend. Like Young Munster's Gary Owen, that's back to the good old days. But you're right, it was down in Ballinahinch and Corcon, and it's low when it comes to numbers like that.
Paul, Stephen mentioned Shamrock Rovers entering a B team there. Is that something that you'd be in favour of?
Purely on the basis of resources, yes, because you'd know that they'd be able to sustain it and they would able to maybe add something to the league, and it then creates a pathway for some of the players who were in that academy, and their academy is by far and away the best out there. So in from that side of things, yes, you would probably back it, knowing that they'll do it right.
Paul, sorry, we got away from the Champions League. Marie, obviously a massive Liverpool fan, hogged all the time, but Chelsea had a great result over Lille, 2-1. It was nervy though in the end, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, and there was those kind of last 5-10 minutes when if Lille got a goal, they were going out of the Champions League. So a really, really important win for Frank Lampard, and enough to get them through to the next stage. But he will want to see probably improvements in performances. They were okay again last night, and it's kind of been okay since the international break. So there's room for improvement there, but getting through to the next round for him and for his confidence as a manager was really, really important.
And from where they came from, starting the Valencia game, losing that and turning it around.
Yeah, it's been a kind of topsy-turvy campaign. That group has been strange, because I'd say there's a number of people who would have looked at Ajax last night and expected them to go through, and Valencia have nipped a result. So every team between Valencia, Chelsea and Ajax seem to be taking points off one another, but for them to get out of the group and to get into the last 16, particularly with blooding some of their younger players and what they're trying to create for future years, it's going to be invaluable experiences.
Paul, thanks so much for coming in. We'll leave you get home, get your hairbrush back to your teammate and those skinny jeans, I imagine. Alright, thanks so much. We're going for a break.
Game on 2FM. Weekdays from 6.